point of the semester, where I'm sure by now everyone's starting to feel stressed, I figured we might as well be stressed together. It's better than being stressed by yourself, no? There's a story that I get a lot of chizuk from. It's a very simple story, but it's a story that, in a funny kind of way, I think, as life gets busy, and I imagine this point of the semester with midterms and things picking up, things get busy and you start to feel pulled in a lot of different directions. So there's a story about Rav Yisrael Belsky. Rav Belsky Zatzal was one of the Rosh Yeshiva in Torah Vadas, passed away a number of years ago. And Rav Belsky told a story in an article, in an interview that he had a number of years ago, about a summer in Camp Agudah. He said he spent the summer in Camp Agudah, and one Shabbos afternoon, they realized that they only had one watermelon for dessert for the entire camp. And in some camps, watermelon for dessert, Shabbos afternoon, after lunch, you know, after the chul, it's like a big thing. It's like a minhag Yisrael. You have to maintain the minhag. But there's only one watermelon. So they were deciding what to do. Should we have a lottery, figure out who gets a slice of the watermelon? Rybelski said, no, it's only fair, it's only appropriate that everyone should get a piece of watermelon. So they took this one watermelon, and they sliced it into 144 little pieces. This is a big avodah to count the pieces of the watermelon. They sliced up the watermelon into 144 small pieces so that everyone in camp would go to the watermelon Shabbos afternoon. Rybelski, who was a very busy person, a very brilliant person, but someone who was involved in so many different things between the yeshiva and the OU, and just being the genius that he was, who was called upon by many sections of Klal Yisrael for many different needs, Rybelski said about himself in this article, and they were talking to him about some of the things that he's involved in, he said, when I think about my life, sometimes I feel like that watermelon. I feel like that watermelon sliced into 144 little pieces, where I'm a lot of little things and I'm not any like one thing. And I really feel that I get a lot of chizuk from that story. Because it's good to know that someone like Rabbi Belsky, who was a genius and was a very capable person, felt in life sometimes very overwhelmed. Because we, as regular people, maybe not on the Madrega of scholarship or Tzidkus of Rabbi Belsky, I hope no one takes offense to that, maybe we're not quite there yet. And therefore, if someone as successful and as well-rounded as Rybelski sometimes felt that his life was pulled in a lot of different directions, 144 little pieces of watermelon, right? So I think it's okay for us to feel the same way. And that's, I'll be honest, that's how I'm feeling a little bit in my life right now. And I'm sure it's how many of you are feeling at this point in the semester as things get busy and you're pulled in a lot of different directions. And the question then becomes, so how do we, you know, it takes a toll on me physically. It takes a toll on me emotionally. It takes a toll on me spiritually. Every conversation I had in the Beis Medrash this afternoon was basically, leading up to this year, was basically about this topic in different forms. But just feeling like I'm not sure like what to do. I'm not sure where to go, what to do, how to do. And I feel pulled apart. Not, God forbid, falling apart. You don't have to be falling apart to feel that you're being pulled in a lot of different directions. The Divrei Shmuel was the Slonim Rebbe, the grandson of the first Slonim Rebbe. So he writes in Parshas Bo that when Moshe Rabbeinu was negotiating the freedom of Klal Yisrael, he says to Paro, "Bin Areinu uvizkenenu nelech." We're taking the young, we're taking the old. Paro's trying to negotiate who can go, who can't go. Moshe Rabbeinu says, "Bin Areinu uvizkenenu nelech." We're taking the young, we're taking the old, we're getting out of Mitzrayim. Let's think about Mitzrayim for a second before we explain what the Divrei Shmuel says. What was Mitzrayim? What does it mean to be in Gullus? Gullus means a lot of different things. But the way the Svarim describe Gullus Mitzrayim, much of the enslavement of Mitzrayim was a mental slavery. It was a physical slavery, don't get me wrong. It was terribly oppressive in terms of the physical treatment of Klal Yisrael. But a lot of what Mitzrayim wanted to do to the Jewish people, as any oppressor wants to do to the one who's being held captive, is to break them down psychologically. And we see that in Chazal, that Mitzrayim was focused on that. Whether it was, like Chazal say, that they would exchange the activities and the work of the men for the women, things that women were comfortable doing, they made the men do and things vice versa, just to get people to do things which were unnatural to them. Whether it's like Chazal say that whenever Klal Yisrael, when someone was about to finish a project, they would switch their avodah at the last moment, so that they can never have the sipukan nefesh of actually finishing anything. Right? Whether it was the fact that they were building storage cities in places where it was very difficult to actually build a building without it crumbling. all sorts of psychological techniques that Paro and his henchmen used against us. And that's why this Sfarim talk about a Gullus Hadas. Gullus Hadas means the mind is just, it's scattered, it's lost. In Mitzrayim, we couldn't think straight. We had forgotten how to daven, we were unaware of who we were. And part of getting out of Mitzrayim is the recognition, is reminding one, regaining my composure, being able to communicate with Hashem once again, getting back to who we are. And that's what happened to Mitzrayim. The Netziv says an amazing thing. When's that moment? Where's that breakthrough moment? Go back to Shemos, beginning of Shemos. We'll come back to the Divrei Shmuel in a minute. But just think for a second. Where was that breakthrough moment where Klal Yisrael cry out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? The pasuk is clear. Paro dies. And it says that the Jewish people cry out. So Rashi has an interesting interpretation from Chazal. Rashi says, why would they cry out? They should be celebrating. There's a lot of answers you could give. Rashi says, it must be that Paro didn't actually die. It must be that Paro had tzaras. And tzaras is sometimes equated with death. And to ease the pain of a tzaras, Paro was bathing in Jewish baby blood. And of course, that was horrible and allowed the Jews, or caused the Jews to cry out that much more. That's Rashi. The Netziv, in his Hamek Davar, says a beautiful pshat. He says, you know what happened when Paro died? The same thing that happens, we don't really connect with it so deeply, but whenever there's a yard site of like a president, you know, and the post office is closed, and the bank is closed, and the library is operating on different hours, right? A national holiday. When Paro died, the whole country was expected to mourn. So some say that's why the Jews were crying, they were pretending to mourn. It's different. The Netziv says, you know what happened? Paro had kept them so scatterbrained, so busy, so mebulbal in Mitzrayim, that the Jewish people, pashut, didn't have the time to think about their own lives. They didn't have time to think. Paro dies, and as a day of mourning, what happens? The whole country shuts down. For the first time in a long time, the Jewish people got a chance to what? To slow down a little bit, and to think about their own lives, and to stop being a watermelon chopped into 144 pieces. And when they thought about their lives, they said, wait a minute, what are we doing? We're Am Yisrael. This is Vina Hafuchu. In Parshas Noach, yeah, Noach put a curse on who? On Cham, on Canaan. That's where Mitzrayim comes from. And what was the curse of Canaan? You're going to be an Eved. And what was the bracha for the Jewish people? You're going to be leaders. Shame is the leaders. This is completely backwards. We're enslaved to a descendant of Canaan who's cursed by Noach to be a slave? This is totally backwards. And the Jewish people at least had a mental breakthrough, an emotional breakthrough, and a spiritual breakthrough that they were able to cry out to Hashem and say, Hashem, this is crazy. Vayanchu b'nei Yisrael, they cried out, min ha'avoda. They said, this is crazy. They finally had a chance to think, to slow down a little bit. But when a person is pulled in so many different directions, we can't even think straight. We can't even process what's happening in our lives because we're just trying so badly to keep up and make sure we can get ready for that midterm so we can get ready afterwards for the next midterm so that we can get ready for the next midterm and survive, hopefully, until Shabbos comes. That bastion of hope, you know, off in the distance called Shabbos. My bed and my pillow. Yeah, and a little time to breathe. Right? So it's very overwhelming. So Moshe says to Paro, Bina reinu vizkenenu nelech. Let's go back to the Slonim Rebbe now. The Divrei Shmuel and Parshas Bo. Bina reinu vizkenenu nelech. We're taking the young or we're taking the old. Young and old, obviously, Pashup Shah means young people and old people. Right? But it's also two models of people. What's the advantage of bin arenu, of our youthfulness? What's the advantage a young person has over an old person? A young person, hopefully, is more energized, is able to do more. It's always said, I always try to be very sensitive. If I'm walking behind an older person who's walking very slowly, I try not to walk past them very quickly. Whether they realize it or not. It's just not nice, you know? You see a person with a cane, like, struggling, taking steps, and everything is calculated. For you to run by is you're like flaunting the fact that I'm so young and full of energy. Right? So the advantage of youth, says the Divrei Shmuel, is what? Is a certain zrizus, is a certain passion, a certain energy for life. The shortcomings of youth is that we're so busy trying to be so young and so busy and so successful and so that we end up becoming what? Completely without Yishuv Hadas. We don't have the time to think because we're so busy doing, we're involved in so many things. The advantage of an older person, of course, is the opposite. They're forced to slow down a little bit. It gives time for contemplation, for reflection, Yishuv Hadas. But unfortunately, because of the physical limitations of an older person, they're not able to be as zariz as they once were. So Moshe says to Paro, so to speak, a Jew has to say to the Yetzer Hara, whatever's holding you back, I need a healthy combination of what? Bina'arenu v'zkeinenu neilich. I need to travel through life with a healthy balance of nar and zakin, of youthfulness and old age. Which one is the ikker? Which one is the main thing? So the Divrei Shmuel writes a very powerful phrase. He says, yes, it's important to be passionate and to be driven and to be busy. It's good. It's a bracha being busy. It's such a bracha to be busy. Such a bracha to be busy with things. That means you're doing something with your life. That's good. There's people who aren't busy and they feel very depressed by the fact that they don't have things to do, even if it's sometimes it just feels like busy work. It's a bracha to be busy. Says the Divrei Shmuel, however, Yishuv Hadas hu Iker Ha'avoda. Na'arenu is great. To be young, to be passionate, to be excited, to be energized is great. But says the Divrei Shmuel, if you want to be a successful Jew in this world, if you want to free yourself from Paro, right? More than Paro is trying to take away our physical enthusiasm, Paro is trying to enslave our minds. And we shouldn't be able to think straight. We shouldn't be able to make conscious decisions. And therefore the Divrei Shmuel says, with regard to Zikeinenu, our Zikna, our wisdom, our old age, our contemplation of life, Yishuv Adas Hu Iker HaAvoda. And then he tells a story about Rav Moshe of Kubrin. He says Rav Moshe of Kubrin, Slonim, the Slonim Hasidic dynasty comes from Kubrin. Rav Moshe of Kubrin, the Tzaddik from Kubrin, Rav Moshe of Kubrin, Zechusu Yagen Aleinu, was once approached by someone who said, you know, Rebbe, I'm going through a tough time. Can you give me a bracha that L'chol HaPachos, at the very least, I should have a little Yishuv Adas, a little peace of mind. Can I have a bracha? I'm not asking for such a big bracha. L'chol HaPachos, at the very least, can I just have a little Yishuv Adas? And the Kubriner said back to him, Rav Moshe of Kubrin said back to him, L'chol HaPachos? The very least you should have a little Yishuv Adas? HaRezeu HaKol. He said, you're asking for the biggest bracha of all. To be able to have Yishuv Adas, to be able to have Menuchas HaNefesh, to be able to think clearly, and to make decisions in your life, as opposed to just racing through life, and then looking back and saying, wait a minute, like, that was too fast. I needed to slow down a little bit. When Klal Yisrael slowed down Mitzrayim, says the Netziv, that one day that they had off because power died and the post office was closed and pyramid building was canceled for the day, the Jews thought about it and all of a sudden there was this hundreds of years of slavery, there was this breakthrough. Wait a minute, well, what's going on here? This doesn't make sense. This is not where we're supposed to be. We don't belong here. We run through life, we're moving too quickly, and that's what happens, and that's part of life, that's part of Binarenu, that's part of what happens in this stage of your life. Right? You're involved in a lot of good things. You want to get a college education. You hopefully have other aspirations for your life. And trying to do any two things is hard. It becomes challenging. The Klausenberger Rebbe said that he was once asked the following shaila. This is Mamish said. Klausenberger Rebbe said, someone came over to him, a man came over to him, wearing tefillin on his arm and holding his shel rosh in his hand. And he said, Rebbe, I have a halachic shaila. I'm a little embarrassed to ask, but I have to ask. So he said, no, what's the shaila? He says, well, as you can see, I'm wearing tefillin on my arm, and I have tefillin shel rosh in my hand, right? When we wear tefillin, we put on the shel yad first, and then we put on the shel rosh. When we take off the tefillin, first we remove the shel rosh, and then we remove the shel yad. So he says, all of a sudden, I came to and realized I was holding my shel rosh, and I was wearing my shel yad. And Rebbe, I'll be honest, I don't know if I'm in the middle of putting on my tefillin to get ready to daven, or if I'm taking off my tefillin because I finished davening already. I literally don't know what I'm up to. So the Klausenberger Rebbe thought about it, and he said, okay, you should put on your tefillin and daven. He says, because even if you davened already, it doesn't seem like you davened with a lot of kavanah. It doesn't seem like it was one of the best davenings, you know? A little extra davening wouldn't hurt you. Can you imagine? A person doesn't even know if he's starting davening or ending davening. Now that may be an extreme example. We've had that sort of in our own way, like in the middle of Shemona Esrei, and you're thinking about, I got to get to this class, I have to meet this person to work on that project for this and that, to the point that, like, wait a minute, am I, right? Like, I'm bowing, so I know to some one of the bowing parts, but I don't know which bowing part I'm up to, right? Or maybe that's like my eighth bow, because I keep going back and I don't even realize where I am. So a Jew has to know how to slow down. A Jew has to know how to maintain Yishuv Adas. The Baal Shem Tov said, we say in Shema, Vavadetem Meheira, Now, the context of that pasuk, right, is a little different than what Baal Shem Tov said, but he said, let's just take those two words from that second paragraph of Shema completely on their own. Vavadetem mehera could also be understood that we should lose mehera, we should lose our mehiras, we should lose our speed. We got to slow down a little bit. Because if we race through life, if we're not conscious, if we're not contemplative, if we're just going and going and going, mehera, 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 if we're running around, in Parsha Shemini it talks about the shiratzim. It talks about a sheretz. A sheretz is a tamei creature. The Avodas Yisrael, the Kazrus Termagid said it's called a sheretz because sheretz, because it's always running. The little mouse that's described by the Torah as a tamei creature, or that little lizard that's described by the Torah, we're trying to figure out what these eight creatures are. These Shemona Shratzim, they're called Sheratzim Sheratz because they're always running. They're moving too quickly, and that itself is Tamei. That's an unholy way for a person to try to live one's life. So the question is, how do we get ourselves to slow down? Rav Moshe of Kibrin said, this is everything. To know how to slow down, to know how to maintain my peace of mind. Yes, we feel like that watermelon sliced into a lot of pieces, pulled in a lot of different directions, but how do we keep it together? How do we maintain a proper, again, concern for our physical well-being, making sure we get enough sleep, making sure we have time to eat and to breathe and to relax, that emotionally we stay in a good place, that spiritually we make sure that we carve out time for Torah and tefillah and the things that are most important to us? The Chafetz Chaim's son-in-law was once asked, tell me the greatest thing about your father-in-law, the Chafetz Chaim, right? So what would you say? Shmiras HaLashon, didn't speak Lashon Hara. The son-in-law of the Chafetz Chaim was asked, tell me the most outstanding trait of the Chafetz Chaim. There were a lot of outstanding traits about the Chafetz Chaim. We all sense that. He said, the most outstanding trait about my father-in-law was his Yishuv Hadas. Peace of mind, serenity, calm. The Chafetz Chaim knew how to... The Chafetz Chaim was the address for so many problems. How does a person who's bombarded with the needs of Klal Yisrael, how does a person maintain such a Yishuv Hadas? Rav Huttner on his deathbed. Rav Yitzchak Huttner was at the end of his life. A nurse came into the room. He was mamish towards the very, very end of his life. Just to show you how a tzaddik can maintain a certain peace of mind in a very difficult situation. He knew he was reaching the end. He wasn't well. And the nurse says to Rav Huttner, she said to him in Hebrew, Kvod harav ata banoach. Kvod harav ata banoach. Honored rabbi, are you comfortable? Ata banoach, are you comfortable? So he says back to her, he says, Banoach, ani kvar belech lecha. He says, I'm already holding by lech lecha. I'm already on the road. He said, I'm dying. This is it. He wanted to make her laugh. He wanted to make her smile. I'm not holding by parshas noach. I'm at the next parsha, lech lecha. I'm moving on to the next stage of life. How does a person make such a joke to make someone else? It's a serious moment of his life. It's a contemplative moment. And yet, he's, whatever, this is where I'm supposed to be. How does a person maintain such a yishuv hadas? So I want to learn together one pasuk, one halacha, and one teaching, which is all really just one thing. Okay? We'll have a little halacha shiur now. Okay? We'll learn a halacha together. It's really a pasuk. What's the pasuk? Shivisi Hashem l'negdi tamid. It's a pasuk in Tehillim in Perek, Tezayin. I'm sure we've heard it before. Shivisi Hashem l'negdi tamid, ki mimini bal emot. Tehillim Perek, Tezayin. Shivisi, we'll focus on the first part of the pasuk. And I'm calling it a halacha because it is a halacha. Shivisi Hashem l'negdi tamid, to have HaKadosh Baruch Hu before me at all times. Says the Shulchan Aruch. Where do I find this halacha? Is it hidden away somewhere in like the back of Choshen Mishpat, some lesser known halacha? If you ever open the Shulchan Aruch to the first page, there it is. It's the very first thing you're going to find in the Shulchan Aruch. What is halacha? Halacha means what? Halicha. Halacha is how we travel through life. You want to know how to travel through life? Says the Shulchan Aruch, I'll teach you how to travel through life. Okay, we'll get to all the other details. There's a lot to learn. There's Hilchos Kashrus, and there's Hilchos Shabbos, and there's Hilchos Tefillah, and there's Taras HaMishpacha, and there's lots of things. Kibud Av V'Em, and how to write a Sefer Torah, and how to shake a lulav. There's lots to learn. But we're going to start off, says the Shulchan Aruch, I'm going to guide you on the path. How do you travel? Halacha. Halichos Olam Lo, like Chazal say. Al Tikri, Halichos Ela Halacha. Halacha, Halicha, they're interchangeable. Halacha means a way of life. How do you function? That's what we're asking. Listen to the halacha. Very first halacha in the Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch begins, Yizgaber ka'ari la'amod ba'boker la'avod esboro. Be enthusiastic to jump out of bed in the morning. Okay. Well, if I'm terrified of life because I feel so scatterbrained, it's going to be hard to get up in the morning. So Shulchan Aruch says, a person should get up with excitement to engage the day. Says the Ramah, Rav Moshe Isserles, in his glosses, his comments on the Shulchan Aruch, right there, printed on the page, the Ramah, adding the notes of the Ramah. Hagah means a note. Shivisi Hashem l'negdi tamid. The Ramah says, before we talk about getting up in the morning, anything, the first thing you need to know, if I had to pick one pasuk for you to halacha, to travel your whole life with, Shivisi Hashem l'negdi tamid. Pasuk in Tehillim, Perek Tes Zayin. Hu klal gadol b'torah uv'mailos hatzadikim asher holchim lifnei Elokim. This is the klal gadol of the Torah. This is the klal gadol of the Torah. It is the attainment, it is the level of the tzadikim who walk before God and walk with God. Okay, so these are people who we are interested in their advice. This is how the great people are successful. This is how the Chavetz Chaim is described by his son-in-law. This is Rav Huttner in his dying moments. This is Rav Moshe of Kabrin saying to the person who asked for a little bracha for Yishuv Hadas. That's not a little bracha, that's everything. That's your whole life. If you can figure this out, then you can figure everything out. Shivisi Hashem l'negdi tamid. That's the way of the tzaddikim. Says the Rambam, hearing who? The Rambam in the Mor Nevuchim. One of the last chapters in the Rambam is Mor Nevuchim. That's where he borrowed this whole section from, starting right now. Ki ein yeshivas ha'adam utnuosav vasakav hulavado gebeso. The way that a person sits, or the way that a person acts and moves, and the way that a person engages when he's sitting by himself or herself alone in one's home. The way you act when you're hanging out by yourself, or with friends, or with family, it's very different than the way, the posture, and the way that a person acts and talks and thinks and responds when one is standing before a great king. V'lo diburo v'harchavashiv kirtzono.
The way that a person says certain things, feels comfortable using certain expressions, talking in a certain way, in the comfort of one's home, amongst one's relatives, is not the same as diburo b'moshav hamelech. The way that one talks and sits and acts in the presence of a king. Okay, that's the part that he's quoting from the Rambam. Continues the Ramah. Kol shekein, all the more so. That would be true for a regular king of flesh and blood. Or a queen, a person of prominence in this world. All the more so, kishiyasim ha'adam el libo, sha'melech ha'gadol l'kadosh baruch hu, asher melocho la'aretz kvodo, omid alav v'ro'o b'maisav. How different we would be as human beings if we lived with Shivisi Hashem l'negdi tamid. I'm not just making a bracha to Hashem who's somewhere out there. Hashem is standing here listening to my bracha. Hashem is listening to my Asher Yatzar. Why am I so distracted? I'm not thanking Hashem for the apple I'm about to eat with Hashem, like being somewhere off, you know, attending to some conference, right? But Hashem is right here. Hashem is listening to the bracha. Wants to see, how do I thank Him? And Hashem is standing there when you're about to share that juicy bit of Lashon Hara. Hashem is standing there listening, saying, yes, let me hear what you're going to say. Let me hear what you have to say. And Hashem is watching our every move and our every action. Hashem wants to see, do you like the Judaism that I gave you? Excited about it? How does Shabbos make you feel? How does Halacha make you feel? Makes you feel oppressed or makes you feel free? Is stopping throughout the day to talk to me annoying? Like making that phone call to the person who you have to call you don't really want to talk to? Or like you're so excited to reconnect and to talk? So Kadosh Baruch Hu is standing there, he's watching, he's the Melochol Arts Kvodo, he fills all of reality. He's all made of love. Kadosh Baruch Hu is standing by, V'roa B'maisav, and observing your every move. As the Pasuk says in Yirmiyah, Im Yisaser Ish B'Mistarim V'Ani Lar Enunu Hashem. If you go into your hiding spot, does God not see you? And that's not supposed to be a threat. That's a gift. That Hashem is hanging out with you. Miyad yagia lav hayira v'hachna b'pachad Hashem yisbach uvoshto mimenu tamid. Says the Ramah, when we live in the presence of Hashem, the Ramah takes a little bit more of the intense negative way of looking at it. But that brings a person to awe and deep respect for Hashem. It's humbling. It's humbling. Hachna, submissiveness. Pachad, a little bit of fear. Busha, a little bit of embarrassment if I'm making the wrong choice. I'm kind of getting caught as I make this wrong choice. And it allows a person to live in the presence of Hashem. And if I'm in the presence of Hashem, continues the Ramah, lo yisbayish mipnei b'nei adam hamal'igim alav bavodas Hashem. Then I'm not embarrassed of anyone who's going to not get the way that I choose to live my life. I'm not ashamed to be close to Hashem because Hashem is reality for me. If Hashem is some abstract idea, and so he says, oh, you really believe in that idea? Well, I mean, I think I do. But if Hashem is right here by your side, if you live with Hashem, This is the halacha that Rama introduces with what pasuk? Shivisi Hashem lenegdi tamid. The Rama paints a picture of being in the presence of Hashem and making good choices because of that, and not, you know, moves and speech and thoughts and conversations. My whole day should be with the awareness that Hashem is watching, and that should bring me to humility, and should bring me some trepidation, and a little bit of embarrassment when I make bad choices, and a little bit of confidence, says the Rama, to make the right choices without feeling that someone else is going to look at me and say, oh, that's so weird. Oh, you actually do that halacha? Oh, you do that thing? That's a little strange. I didn't know people actually do that. Or I never heard of that before. And you explain, yeah, this is what the Jewish God commands me to do, and I'm very proud to do it. And I do it with confidence. Because Hashem is by my side. Shivisi Hashem l'negdita. That's how the Rama takes David HaMelech's pasuk and applies it to the very introduction of the Shulchan Aruch. But I want to share with you now a piece of Torah from the Baal Shem Tov. It's printed in the Sefer Keser Shem Tov, in the first Chelek, piece number 220. And he explains Shivisi Hashem l'negdi tamid in a way that is really what I want to share with you today. And it's the response to feeling like a watermelon sliced into 144 pieces. How do I keep it together? Especially when life gets really busy. And it's not bad things. Lav dafka, it's like I'm overwhelmed with good things. I'm overwhelmed with good choices. There's some fascinating books that have come out in recent years. Talk about psychology books, you know, like pop psychology books, which write about the paralyzing fear that people have when we have too many choices. It's so hard to choose. I don't know what to choose. When we just had vanilla and chocolate, so I'm either like a vanilla person or a chocolate person. And I buy my ice cream and I sit on my park bench and I enjoy it. You know? Now it's like, you know, like come into our ice cream shop, like 1,003 flavors, you know? Something for everyone. And you're staying there for like 45 minutes trying to decide, you know, like what's the chiluk between like the vanilla bean and the vanilla, like the 7 flavors of vanilla, you know? It's like a different shade of vanilla. I don't know what to do. It's paralyzing. We're overwhelmed by choices. So sometimes we're overwhelmed by good things. It's nice to have choice, but it can also be overwhelming. So how do we maintain our Yishuv Adas, which is really everything in a certain sense? Says the Baal Shem Tov in the Keser Shem Tov, Shivisi Hashem l'negdi tamid. Shivisi, what does Shivisi mean? So we learned until now, Shivisi means place Hashem before you all the time. Shivisi, you should equate Hashem opposite you. You should feel that you're in the presence of Hashem. That's a very powerful tool to have proper Yirah Shamayim and to have a proper confidence as making choices as a Jew. It's beautiful. That's what the Ramah taught us. Explains the Baal Shem Tov, Shivisi Lashon Hishtavus. The title of today's shir was Hishtavus HaNefesh. What is Hishtavus? What is Hishtavus? How would we translate Hishtavus? A certain Hishtavus, a certain equanimity, a certain ability that everything is equal by me. Now, what type of person is that? A person who says everything is equal by me. Okay, a person who doesn't really care much about anything, like, yeah, whatever, everything is just like the same by me. Doesn't sound like a very thoughtful individual. But there's obviously a very positive side. If David HaMelech says, Shivisi Hashem l'negdi tamid, what does it mean to sort of level the playing field? Shaveh, equal. Everything's equal by me. Hishtavus. Shivisi Lashon Hishtavus. Bechol Davar Sheyerala. Whatever comes your way, says the Baal Shem Tov. Yehei HaKol Shaveh Etzla. Stay calm. Right? Like all those like posters and t-shirts and bumper stickers, keep calm and whatever. Yeah? Right? So Baal Shem Tov says, that was David, they stole that from David HaMelech. Shivisi Hashem l'negdi tamid means what? Keep calm and whatever. And dot, dot, dot. And keep studying and keep davening and keep whatever you need to do. Stay calm. Whatever comes your way, yeah, kol shava etzlo. I'm not panicked. I'm not overwhelmed. What do you mean? I feel like I'm pulled in a million different directions. How could I not be overwhelmed? Sometimes we surrender, instead of what? Surrendering to Hashem, we surrender to other people's needs or desires or expectations or demands or judgments. Says the Baal Shem Tov, don't panic. Don't panic. Shivisi Hashem l'negdi tamid. Stay calm. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is putting you in a particular situation. You feel a little bit overwhelmed. How am I going to figure this all out? Stay calm. It should all be equal. Whether people are praising you and saying, great job, or whether people are mevazin, are disgracing you. V'chein b'chol shar dvarim. And the same thing is true with all other things that come your way. V'chein b'chol ha'achilos. When you sit down to eat, bein she'ochel ma'adonim, bein she'ochel shar dvarim, whether it's the finest meal or the simplest meal. Ha'kol shava be'enav. You ever meet a person who's just like has a certain again, this midah, hishtavas hanefesh. Keep thinking, like, try to think of someone for a second who had this midah a little bit. We're like, there's a certain calm. Right? When things are great, they're able to, they're not overwhelmed by the positive, and they're not overwhelmed by the negative. That's an amazing midah to have. Now, some people have it a little bit more naturally, right? But it's also a midah that you can work on. You can work on what? Surrendering to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a way that, you know what, I'm always, there's a sense of constant satisfaction. Eizu Asher Asameach B'chalko. If life is really busy, then that's what it's supposed to be. And if life is not as busy, that's what it's supposed to be. And if things are working out great, well, that's what it's supposed to be. And if things are going through a rough patch, someone said to me, I had a conversation with someone yesterday, and she said to me, I'm going through a rough season. She said, I'm not going to try to define my whole life by this, but it's like a rough season. I said, that's such a nice way to like look at it, you know? That's your way of saying, like, it's, you know, this is life. I've had some ups, I've had some downs, and right now it's a little bit down, but that's, you know, it's okay, I'm going to get through this. And I thought that was an amazing expression of hishtavas hanefesh, to be able to look at all of the things of life and to try to level the playing field a little bit, to say, what? Shivisi Hashem l'negdi tamid. It's all equal because it's all what Hashem wants me to be going through right now. Sometimes it's great, sometimes it's not so great. But to be able to level things out a little bit. And if you think this is an idea that Baal Shem Tov created, I can tell you that great people way before the Baal Shem Tov spoke about the maila of hishtavas hanefesh. In the Chovos HaLevavos, a classic work of Jewish philosophy, Rabbi Nobachi Ibn Pekuda, hundreds of years before the Baal Shem Tov, in his Shar Yichud HaMaita, Chovos HaLevavos says, he tells the following story, V'kvar Amru Al Echad Min HaChassidim, it was said about one of the pious people. A chassid in times of the Chovos HaLevavos didn't mean a chassid of like a chassidish person after the Baal Shem Tov. Right? A pious individual. It was said about a pious individual. She'amru L'chaveiro, that he once said to his friend, Hanishtaviso, have you achieved hishtavis? Have you achieved this equanimity? So his friend says back to him, Amar lo, be'ez inyan, in what regard? Is everything equal by you? So he says, in what way? What do you mean? What are you asking? Amar lo, he said to him, Nishtav be'inecha hashevach v'agnus. Can you stay equally calm when people praise you or people speak out against you? Do you have a confidence in who you are and why you are and what you are to be able to just maintain a certain yishuv adas? When things are going well, you don't get ahead of yourself. When things aren't going so well, you don't get too panicked. Are you able to hear both your praise and not let it get to your head, and your rebuke or your ridicule and not be broken by it? So he says to him, no. He said back to his friend, no, it's not true. Obviously, I like when people praise me. I like when people like what I'm doing. I like public opinion. He said, no, I'm not there yet. Im Cain, so he says to him, his friend says to him, the pious friend says to him, Adayin lo higata, you have yet to arrive. You haven't reached it yet. And he says to him, Hishtadel, work on it a little bit more. Ulai tagia ala madrega azos, maybe you'll reach this level. Can you imagine to be so confident in your relationship with yourself and your relationship with Hashem that nothing shakes you? It's a high level. I'm not saying it's an easy level. The fact that it's the first halach in the Shulchan Aruch, it doesn't just mean like this is the first thing you need to know. This might be the first in terms of importance, as we're seeing today, in a certain sense. To be able to get to a point where I have a confidence in what I'm going through and the kochos that I have, everything's going to be okay. Right? And if things are going great, I'm not going to become haughty from it. I'm not going to lose sight of the times when things were a little bit more difficult. It's very hard to maintain that hishtavus, again, that equanimity throughout one's life. So he says to his friend, he says, you haven't achieved it yet. Hishtad, they'll keep working on it. Ulai tagil amadregazos. Hopefully you could attain this level. Kihi el yonash of madregos hachasidim hishtachlis hachamudos. This is the highest level of the most pious people. This is the greatest thing to have. It's the greatest thing to have. You know why? Because life can get very stressful sometimes. And life can throw a lot of things at you sometimes that you're not expecting. But if you have hishtavas hanefesh, if shivisi Hashem l'negdi tamid, if you live with a Kadosh Baruch Hu opposite you, then it's all good. It's all equally good. Who was the master of this? Sara Imenu. What does Rashi say in this week's Parsha? We have a couple minutes left. What does Rashi say in this week's Parsha? Vayihyu chayei Sara, the life of Sara, how does it begin? 127. And Rashi said, well, she's 100, she's like 20. When she's 20, she's like 7. Different character traits of her righteousness. She was as innocent as a 20-year-old. She was as beautiful with the innocent beauty of a 7-year-old. And Rashi says about Sara, Vayu chaye Sara, kulan shavin letova. Kulan shavin letova. The Yesod HaAvoda, the first Lama Rebbe, is quoted in a letter, in a sefer called Avodas Pnim, in the 43rd letter. He said he was once speaking about this Rashi, and he started to think, you know what that means? Kulan shavin letova? It doesn't mean that everything in Sara's life was equally good, because that's not true to anyone's life. What it means, kulan shavin letova, was that life was always good for her. He said it in Yiddish. Life was always good by her. That doesn't mean life was always good and like it was everything was always just like better and better and everything worked out great. Sara had some very difficult things in her life. Like waiting 90 years to have a child. That wasn't so simple. But it was good by her. She had a shtavas hanefesh. Kulan shavin letova was all equally good by her. She had a certain yishuv hadas, a certain ability to look at the struggles of life and not to be flustered by it, not to be broken by it. It's amazing. The chida says it's hinted to in the first word in the parsha. What's the first word in the parsha? Vayiyu. Yeah? Vayiyu chaye sara. Vayiyu. Look at the word vayiyu. Vav, yud, hey, yud, vav. What do you see? Write down the word. Vayiyu. It's a palindrome. It can be read forwards and backwards. It's the same letters, forwards and backwards. So the Chida writes in a Sefer Pnei David, Vayu Chai Sara. Sara knew how to read life forwards and backwards. She knew how to understand the ups and downs. She could see things. She had a certain clarity, a certain confidence. And I'm exactly where I need to be. Shivisi Hashem Lenei Tami. That if a Kadosh Baruch Hu is with me, and I surrender myself to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and I cling to Hashem, as Rav Chaim Vital writes in one of his Svarim, that the prerequisite for Ishtavas HaNefesh is Dveikus BaHashem. When I walk with Hashem, like the Ramat told us in the Shulchan Aruch, when my starting point is what? That Hashem is by my side, then I can maintain a certain calm. And yes, I can admit that I feel like a watermelon sliced into 144 pieces. But I also feel that, you know what? I can do this. I can get through this. Life can get overwhelming. Life can get really complicated sometimes. But I'm going to find the way to slow down, to maintain my ability to choose, my ability to stay positive. The Chazon Ish once said, he said, life is filled with moments of laughter and moments of tears, right? And we get to kind of choose how we want to respond. Right? We can sometimes choose to laugh at things which are sad, or we can end up crying over things which are actually not so bad. It's a question of what we want to choose. How do we want to look at things? Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Tamid is an amazing secret that David HaMelech revealed to us, that the Ramah taught us in Shulchan Aruch, is a prerequisite for, again, for making good choices in my life. And what the Baal Shem Tov said, b'chol davar sheyerolo, whatever happens to you, to be able to say shivisi, it's all shavat, it's all good. To be appreciative of whatever it is that Hashem has given me, because that's my life. That's the life that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to live. So Mirta Hashem, we should be able to take advantage of these days. Again, I know things are busy now. This is just like, I was talking to myself a little bit, or a lot of it, if I'm allowed to say that. Not that I wasn't thinking about all of you, because I'm sure you're equally busy. But this is a time in the semester that things are just, you know, things are getting busy. We're past Rosh Hashanah, we're past Hanukkah, still over a month away. We're like hoping to get there, you know, it's off in the distance. Right? But this is like a time where, like, you know, we're pulled in a lot of different directions. And it's a lot of the conversations that I'm having with people, and it's something I'm trying to figure out for myself also. So I give us a bracha. We should be able to understand what it means to live a life of Ishtavas HaNefesh. Again, it's a big sugya, but it's really the ultimate bracha that we hope for ourselves. And like we learned, it's something that a person could work on. Like the Chovas HaLevavos, like the Chassid said to his friend, gotten there yet? Strive for it. It's a madriga to work on. Some people it comes more naturally. It's something that we can work on. And the Mirtz Hashem, like Sari Yimeinu, will be able to look at our life and say, cool, even though it wasn't always so simple. Mirtz Hashem, we should be zochet to achieve such a madriga. Have a great day and good luck with your midterms.